all the quantities that you are using to specify not only the equation and the documentation, but also the units. You can't simulate even if you don't put units, but if you put the units, you are adding to the quality of the model and also consistency of the model. Also, you can control. So for instance, suppose you now want to test if the model is okay. Then you can click on model, check model, and you get an answer, the model is okay. Let's do the same for the equations. Model, unit check. And then you get a message, no unit specified for the variable control obsolescence. Again, in VenSim, the model is able to produce some result if you simulate, even if you don't have the units. In PowerSim, you have to put the right units or let the model check the units, otherwise it will not simulate. So PowerSim is stricter. Units, as I said, in VenSim are not absolutely required, but they are recommended. So how do you put the units? For constants, for levels, you put the units yourself. For the other variables, let's click on here, on that variable. We don't have the unit. You can click on check units, and then VenSim will compute the units for you. Click on that. There it comes, and it creates the unit one per year. The reason why it is one per year is because the controls, we didn't give a unit, and the flow has the units of the level divided by time. Sometimes when you click on check units, VenSim detects that there are inconsistencies, and then you discover, typically when you have inconsistency in the units, you have some mistake as well. And they happen more often than you would believe. I have even found in books on system dynamics having electronical versions of the models, I even have found errors on units, and often there are errors of the models. So click on that and that is safe. The other thing I wanted to tell you is in the front page, then I will post here the solution to the exercises, and you will also be able to get the solutions from VenSim by downloading them. So in principle, you will have the solutions available, both in terms of a file that explains how the solution looks like and VenSim models. Okay, now back to the lecture. The last thing we did was to argue that this was the model that will allow us to simulate reinforcing feedback. This model is also in the frontal room, so you can download it. I am not going to spend too much time now in creating the model, since we know in principle how this is done in terms of doing it with VenSim. I ask you to do that at home later. But let's go now to VenSim and have a look at that model. So here's the model. We have the level of infected PCs. It is being increased, the number of infected PCs to virus infections. At this stage, we don't ask where the infections come from. In a more advanced version of the model, we will do so. And then the logic is, because the infected PCs exchange document with other PCs, then there are contacts occurring between infected and non-infected PCs. How many of them that occur per time unit depends on how many infected PCs there are and how many contacts there are between the PCs. And that contact is described by a parameter here, which is kind of a level of activity. Let's click on that and see its value. Here I put the value 2, per hour, the unit is per hour. So we are assuming that on the average, each PC exchanges two documents with some other PC. We can think of an intranet in a company, and so on. And there you have the documentation here. The fractional contact rate describes the number of contacts from PC to PC per unit of time. Here assumed to be 2 per hour. Okay? So that is defined there. The infection probability is the other parameter. And there I have put in 0.2. And because it is a probability, and a probability is a frequency of occurrence, it has no unit, it is dimensionless. That means 0.2 means that only 20% of those infectious documents actually lead to an infection, because the guys who get those documents are cautious in most of the cases. Now, when you simulate this, and in the model settings I put here 48 hours, the time step 1, we'll see if that is accurate enough. If not, you have to reduce that. And when you simulate, then you can look at any quantity of interest. Which variable that is selected, you can see here on the top. There, on the top slide, you see Venzim, that's the tool, virus spread 1, which is the name of the model, var, and that is selected variable, infection probability. So at this moment, this variable is selected. If I want to select this one, I click on that, and then you see here in the upper line that the var is infected PCs. So if this is selected, either it's enhanced or not, it doesn't matter which one it is, if it is indicated or not. The point is here, what you see here. If you click now on the graph, then you get a diagram. And this diagram is incredible, because as you can see, the scale is 0 to 20 millions. How is that possible? Well, it's possible because you have an exponentially growing process. When you have an exponentially growing process, it goes very slowly to begin with, but then it's doubling with a regular time. And the story is known from a story which probably is not true, but it's told that the inventor of chess was offered by the king in India, wherever it was, some prize for having invented some entertaining game, which the king liked very much. And the story is, he said, "Oh, I am very, very modest. Just give me one corn of rice for the first square, 2 for the next one, 4 for the next one, and so on, until we come to the end, 64 squares. And the king, who didn't know maths, say, "You will get that." What he was promising was an amount of rice that will fill, I think, something like 20 train loads from here to the moon, back and forth. So that's what happens when you are doubling every constant of time. 2 to the 64, which is what happens, and adding to 2 to 63 and so on, because you have 1, 2, 4 and all adding. So that's an incredible load. And the point is that another way of storing that is you have a pint of water with water lilies, and the number of water lilies is doubling per day. So when the pond has half of it covered with water lilies, how much time will it take until it's fully covered? And the answer is 1 day. So originally it's very slow, but then it explodes and so on. So that's what we are seeing here. But of course, this model neglects one thing, and that is that the number of PCs that can be infected very quickly decreases. So this model cannot be completely correct. It is just the first cut in a model. The point was to show that this was a reinforcing feedback, and we could add here this symbol for a reinforcing feedback. Okay, what was command, this one. And we could call it the infection loop or something like this. Okay, so we don't make this model together, just to save some time, but in principle, it's similar to what you did in the previous exercise, and the solution is available. You can download it from the Frontier Room. So let's continue now with the lecture. We are here. Now we go to the next kind of feedback, balancing feedback. When you have converging behavior against some asymptotic value, then you have a balancing feedback. Here are two examples. If you have an oil reservoir, as we have in offshore, then you are producing, that is empty in the reservoir, and the amount of oil that you are extracting initially is very high because the pressure is very high, and as you are extracting more and more oil, then the pressure decreases, and in the end you hit some asymptotic level. Another example is quality improvement. You have some target to improve quality of a process. Initially you make quick progress. As you're coming closer and closer to the target, it becomes more and more difficult, and then it levels off. Here is an example of balancing feedback. If you consider now the sales of a product, for every sales that you are doing, you are reducing the number of customers who may consider to buy. So as you are doing this, you are decreasing, you are converging to some limit, and this limit is the total level of potential customers. To model that, you could put a level, potential customers, a flow, new customers, which occur by sales, and how fast this goes depends on how many contacts there are that are generating new sales, on the probability that the contacts generate sales, but also on the ratio of potential customers to the market size. To begin with, this ratio is 1. The first sale, everybody in the market who could buy the product could buy it, so the potential customers is equal to the market size. But as less and less potential customers are there, because you have already them as customers, this ratio becomes lower and lower and lower and lower, and therefore the process goes slower and slower and slower. I leave it to you to create this model again, because we will see this model as part of a more general modeling in a moment. Before you go so far, I wanted to make the point that when you have a balance in feedback, you have always, whether it is explicit or implicit, some target value. You can see that in the case of a balancing loop, balancing feedback for workforce. Suppose you are running a company. You have a project. You compare the workforce that you have with the desired workforce, with the workforce you need to complete the project. And there will be a gap between your desired workforce and your workforce. This gap can be positive or negative. It is positive if you have too little staff, in which case you have to hire. It is negative if you have too many people and you have don't have possibility to employ them, you have to lay off. So anyhow, the balancing loop is, because you have a gap between the desired workforce and the workforce, you need to either hire or lay off people, which will change the value of the workforce, and this is a balancing feedback. And here's how you simulate that: a level for the workforce, a level for the hires, a flow for the change in workforce, which is hiring or layoff, it can be positive or negative. A comparison of the desired workforce and workforce, which determines the gap. And then this hiring or laying up workforce will depend on some typical time to adjust your workforce. This model is also in Frontier, so you can download and inspect it. Then oscillations. You have oscillations when you have a balancing feedback with a significant time delay. Intuitively, you can understand that if you ever have taking a shower in an old kind of shower where it takes time to adjust the temperature of the water, then you know typically the water becomes too hot first, then you have to decrease the temperature. It takes time before it is has the right temperature, and probably you have made it too cold, so you have again to adjust the temperature, so you get too hot, too cold, too hot, too cold until you have achieved the temperature. That's because of the time delay. If every turn of that temperature immediately changed the temperature, then you wouldn't get oscillations. You would very quickly get a typical balancing feedback, a level off. But when you have time delays, you get oscillations. And the bigger the time delay, the more marked the oscillations are. Another way is driving on a slippery road. If it is very slippery, then you have a time delay between your turn or the wheel and when the car reacts to your turn. And the more slippery it is, the more your car will slide around. Okay? So, when do you have S shape? S shape behavior you have when you have a reinforcing loop and a balancing loop. And this model that combines a reinforcing loop and a balancing loop, we'll have a look at it now. You have two loops. The reinforcing loop is the more virus infected PC, the more PCs are infected. Like this. The more infected PCs, the more documents that are spread around that cause infections. So you have this reinforcing feedback loop. That's the model that we created before. Here's the other model, which is running out of targets. The more PCs that are infected, the more uninfected PCs that we have there. So more virus infections decreases the number of uninfected PCs. But the virus infections is proportional to the number of uninfected PCs. So you have a positive polarity here, you have a negative polarity here. This is a balancing loop. What happens is, in the beginning, the number of uninfected PCs is high. So this loop, the reinforcing loop, is dominating, and we see this initial increase. But then we are noticing here that we are running out of targets. The process gets slower and slower, and then the balancing loop becomes the strongest one. Then it goes against some limit. You see, there is an analogy here between the process of sales, is kind of the same as virus infections. Actual customers could be infected people. Potential customers is analogous to uninfected PCs. So actually, the two models would be the same. Of course, some different numbers and so on, but in principle, you can model both things with the same kind of model. So the epidemic model describes real epidemics, data virus epidemics, and infection, in quotation marks, of potential customers by existing customers through the word-of-mouth mechanism. So that's the nice thing about simulation models very often, or also about system archetypes. The same conceptual model can describe different phenomena in the world. Okay, so back to this. This is the same, but with a slight change of looking. Let's go back. That is the original model, causal loop model with two feedback loops. Now I put it like this because the transition now to the stock and flow model is easier to understand. There you have it. So this feedback loop is this one. this feedback loop here is this one. And you see that the flow has two effects. It increases here, so that's why we have the polarity here, and it decreases in this direction, thus we have this here. But the flow goes from uninfected PCs to infected PCs. It's unidirectional, that is some transport, so to speak. Whereas the cause of virus infection goes in both directions. In this direction, it increases the number of infected PCs, this one. In this direction, it decreases the number of uninfected PCs. So I hope this is not confusing for you. You have to understand that this variable here, that is the strength of the flow, has two causal effects: to increase the number of infected PCs, to decrease the number of uninfected PCs. Okay, let's now go to VenSim. The model which you find in Fronter, and I will open. Is this one. And I will do some part of it for you and then jump to the final model, assuming that you at home create the model. That is important you do that. So how do we create this model? Let's concentrate first on the two levels, infected PCs and uninfected PCs, and in the rate or the flow going from uninfected PCs to PCs, the virus infection. So let's do that. So I take a file new. You can do the beginning with me, file new model. We assume that the process goes in terms of hours. So we put here hours. And we assume 2 days, 48 hours. So I put 48 for final time, and I have selected units of time hour. For the time step, I leave it for the time being at 1. Click OK. Are you with me? Okay. And then we select the level, the box variable. Click on here to the left, and right there, uninfected PCs. Enter. Then click somewhere here to the right and write infected PCs. Enter. And you can try to move them with your hand so that they are approximately at the same height, and so on. And then you click on the rate, and you have to click inside the first, and go and click inside the second, and write virus infections. Enter. And that gives you the connection between the two levels. This time, because the flow starts in a level that I have drawn and ends in another level which I have drawn, you don't get the clouds. The clouds you got if you didn't specify a level where the whole thing originated or where it ended up. By the way, you can use the option of layout to make sure that two objects are aligned. I will show you that here. I will create two other boxes, two other stocks. I call them one A and the other B. I want them to have on the same level. What I do is click on the hand here, click on the first one, hold the shift key down to and click in the second, then both are selected. And then click on layout, and you put vertical unlock selection, click on that, and then you get them aligned as in the last selection. And you can experiment with the layout. You can require that both have the same height or the same width or the same size and so on. And you could do some other things. You can also spread variables horizontally or vertically according to this. Okay. But the purpose of this was to get you started. I go back to the original model. I assume you will create the model. And there are some things that I want to show you. This model is given in, you find the solution in Fronta, you can download it. The parameters that I use, if I find a marker here, I hope this can be seen there in there, that is the fractional contact rate. Which measures how many documents that are exchanged per unit of time between the pieces. I put as 2 with the units 1 per hour. The infection probability I put at 0.2, and it has no unit, it is dimensionless. And you choose then dimensionless or just 1, that is the same thing. And then finally, the total numbers of pieces and we are assuming that we are having an intranet in a company. I think I put 2,000, but let me check that. 1,000. It is 1,000, and I call the unit pieces. I entered myself the unit. If you don't have the unit, you just write under unit some name. Okay? So, and that's all you need. Everything else come from equations. Now, so everything else you can do in principle, but there are some tricks here which I want to explain. Originally, I assume one PC is infected. So I put here 1 virus infected, and here I entered PCs as unit. I wrote it myself. And here is the explanation and so on. You can first download the model, look at everything, and then try to make it by yourself. Okay? Then, if I have 1,000 pieces, here I should have put 1,000 minus 1, which is 999. And you can do that. That's a possibility. But if you do that, and you later change something, then you have to change every number. So what I instead did is, look at this, I have drawn arrows from the total number of PCs to unintended PCs and from infected PCs to that, so that I could define the initial value here as the difference. It is the total number of PCs minus the infected PCs. In this way, if I change now this to 2, for instance, or whatever, or 5, whatever, some number, then this will be computed now as 1,000 minus 5, which is the correct number. But normally you don't see these arrows. I am going to increase the view so that you can see the colors. View, zoom, 200. See the difference? These arrows here between the different variables are blue. These arrows going to the levels are gray. The different color is to tell you that the levels are not changed during the simulation by in this way. These arrows do not influence. They are only for the initial value. When you see a gray arrow, it's only the initial value. In fact, normally you don't see this because I have a setting here which is not default, which I have imposed. And the setting is the following. In model settings, there is a tab called Sketch. There are many tabs. You have to select the Sketch to see that because it starts with a tab Time Bounds. If you click on Sketch, then you have here something called Show Initial Courses or Model Diagrams. Look at this, here. Show initial courses. This is normally not active. It is like this. And if it is like this, you don't have the arrow. You don't have these arrows. So in order to see those arrows, you have to choose in model settings, sketch, show initial courses. Okay? So that is something that you need to do. The other thing is, when you simulate, I simulate now, so you can see the behavior of any variable by selecting the variable, whatever it is, infected pieces, and clicking here on the graph. Then you see some curves here. I will explain soon why we have two curves here. I will explain it in a moment. Or actually, I'm going to do something so that we only see one curve and later explain that. So I'm going to do something. Okay, I will explain that later. So I have the simulation results file name virus spread. If you now click on the graph, then you see the behavior of that, and that this is an S curve, as it should be. Okay. Now this is the kind of output that you get by clicking on some variable and clicking on a graph. There it appears. So now I see the behavior of uninfected pieces and S curve decreasing. Or I can click on virus infection and graph, and then I see like this. Or I can get all the output forward, and then I have three windows about different things and so on. Okay. But as you can see in this case, I have the output on the screen as well. How did I do that? I will show how to do that taking a different model. This one. Let me choose a smaller view, like this. I want you to show you now the number of infected pieces on the screen. The way to do that is using the input-output object. Click on that. And when you click, you get a window. And you have three options. You can create an input slider which allows you to interact with the simulation. you can could get an output custom graph, which means you have to create a graph before. This is more complicated, we do it later. But you can click on the output workbench tool, click on that. When you click on that, you can select if you want to see a level or something else. Click on level. And in this case, there is only one level, infected PCs, select it, okay? And then you can go down, custom graph or analysis tool for output, and you select what you want to see. And there are many things you can see. For the time, we concentrate on graph, okay? And now you have this here, which you can give it any size you like. And when you simulate, you get the diagram there. This is a simple way to create output of one variable on the screen. If you want to see several variables on the screen, then you have to go to the control panel and create a graph first. So here on the top, you have the control panel. Click on that. And then you have several tabs, you click on graphs. And then you click on new to create a graph. And the first thing is to give it a title, so you could call it something like graph of results, whatever you like. There are many things you can put in. This is to allow you to format the graph as you like. But to begin with, we can simply forget about most of the details and go to here to variable and click on selection. Click on select, and there you get a list of all the variables that you have. And as you see, they are not only the variables that you put on the screen, they are also internal variables like final time, initial time, save period, time of simulation, and so on. Some of them are constants anyhow. So let's click here on infected PCs, okay, on selected. And then we select the second variable, the virus infection. Now you have to scroll, click on that. Now we have two variables. Click OK. And if you now click on display, you get the curve with the two, still as output that you can show and kill. If you now want to put that on the screen, then you click on, I am going to delete this one since it's taking space. Click on input output object, click somewhere here, select output custom graph, select what you want to see, graph of results. It's the only option here. Click on that. There you have it. Give it some size by dragging here. Simulate. And there you have the graph. So, in these ways, you can create all kinds of things. And now, let me go back to the previous model. This one. So these two graphs that you see here, I have created with a control panel. Let me show you. Control panel, open that. Graphs. Vensim is making some nonsense. Let me close Vensim and open it again. There are bugs in that. So, then simply click on control panel, graphs, I don't understand why Vensim is misbehaving. graphs. It showed two graphs, should show two. But it is probably because I have the two models in the same folder that's making problems. Let's see, I am going to load the professional version of Enzyme and see if it solves the problem. It's more advanced, it has more arrows and so, control panel, graphs. I simply don't understand why Vensim is making all this nonsense. Because I have two graphs. Let me see here. Input-output object. Oh yeah, I have to select this one. No, it is making mistakes. You see, I have two graphs, but I don't get the names here. Is this an error in Vensim? Probably I have to start the computer again in order to show that. I have two graphs that I have created with the control panel, this one and this one. But it is making, I don't know what happens. Vensim is probably mixing up the several files. But when you do that, if you get this problem, restart your computer. We are now close to finishing, so I cannot show that. And you create two graphs here with the control panel, and then using the input-output object, you select two new ones. I wonder what happens if I click here and try to select output custom graph and see what happens. Graph. And what happens if I simulate? I get the virus infection. This one. Okay. I don't know why Vensim is misbehaving. In the beginning of the next class, I will show you. Or you can do it. It should be working. But I want to explain what happens when you see two simulations. Why I am seeing two curves? The reason why I'm seeing two curves is the following. I have in the control panel data sets two files that I am simulating. The base, one that I call base and one that I call virus spread. The base one correspond to the original values that I have in this model. But I want to compare, and in order to compare, I want to change the values, and there is next to simulate one that is called SynthesIM. If you click on that, SynthesIM, then you get sliders, and using these sliders, you can change values. So suppose you increase the infection probability, okay? So suppose instead of 0.2, you point 0.3. You make the probability infection higher. And then you click OK, and then immediately you see the red curve comes much, much earlier. So in these ways, you can make a what-if analysis. As you saw, I entered the value numerically, but you can also change the slider here and do things like this. And you see what happens. This is the base simulation. The blue one corresponds, as you see here, to the base. That is the numbers that I had in the model originally. Whereas the red one is the one you are seeing here, and that's the one I modified into the sliders. So in this way, you can compare the model originally with another one where you are making different assumptions. What if the infection probability increases? What if the fractional contract rate decreases and so on? In this way, you have a very, very powerful tool so that you can experiment with your simulation. So just to summarize today, I hope you got the beginning with Vensim, you got the connection between the feedback loops and behavior, and you saw that we could use a simulation so as to do some experiments, experiment with things. So you